Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast. Real faith, real talk. Well, this time I'm going to ask me how my week is.
I can ask you how your week is.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Warner, how's your week been, man?
Ah, dude, these chickens have been really ticking me off.
Tell them about the possum.
I'm going to. So, first of all, these chickens have not been wanting to go in their coop, right? And I know my wife didn't. She when we got married, she certainly didn't sign up to be a pastor's wife. And I certainly didn't sign up to be a chicken farmer's husband. So this is, you know, we both live with the hand we were dealt.
Come in one flesh.
Yeah. So this chicken situation, one day I go out there, and it's always on the nights that Tiffany's working. I go out there, all of the chickens are in the run. None of them are in the coop. And I got my fly new Adidas on. I'm like, ugh. So I got to get all these chickens. And it's always muddy and poopy in there. And so I get all this mud and poop all over my new Adidas. I was really frustrated. But I forced the chickens to go in their coop. And they're freaking out. They don't want to be in there for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. Next night, I worked out in the gym like so bad. And it was so hard. And I hurt myself. It was a lot of work. Eli is kicking my butt in the gym, and I get home and I'm like, I just want to shower.
Yeah.
And so I go and shower, and I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I know we're going to do the tile in the shower. I'm going to get dirty with the grout and all that stuff. And I was like, honestly, I probably shouldn't shower yet, but I just really want to.
Yeah.
So I go and shower. Immediately after getting out of the shower, Tiffany is yelling for me that I need to come out to the chicken coop. And in the chicken coop is a possum.
Yeah.
This is why the chickens didn't want to go in there. Thank God it didn't kill them the night before when I forced them into the coop.
Yeah.
But she finds this possum in the coop.
Who is a non-aggressive observer.
Right. But here's the thing about possums is they're going to eat the eggs. And if the chickens try to stop them from eating the eggs, they'll kill the chickens to get the eggs.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Because like honestly, juice. I don't care about a possum, whatever. But the fact that they'll kill my chickens to get to the eggs is a problem. So I'm like, all right, I have to kill this thing. And I don't have any guns, which someone made. I told somebody else this story, and they made the point that I live in city limits, so I probably would get in trouble for shooting a gun anyway. So probably, I don't know if there's a way to around that. But anyway, maybe I need like a knife or something, like a Rambo knife. I don't know. Whatever. I need something to stop possums, because what I had was a handmade Native American like stone hammer tomahawk, right? It's just like a wood handle with feathers and a giant like
it's rock, like a hammer
rock on the end, right?
But I'm thinking, like a Mayan war tool.
Yes, but I'm thinking this is certainly heavy enough, and I'm strong enough. I've been working out.
Yeah.
I feel fairly confident one blow to the head and this thing's going to be done.
Dispatched.
Right? And I smoke this guy.
Good hit. I saw it.
It was a good hit, and he's still alive. And I'm like, well, now I got to put him out of his misery.
Someone say a critical hit.
Yeah. So we throw him out of the coop, and he's just like stumbling around. And I have to like Negan from The Walking Dead, just like smash and smash and smash. To where I'm like almost crying. There's like blood all over me. And I go inside and I look in the mirror and I've just got blood splatters everywhere.
It's like Abraham and Isaac if it went wrong.
I'm like, I just took a shower.
You were very distraught after
that. Yeah. And then
I want to play possum's advocate real quick. I think it was dead after the first blow.
Oh, you think so? Just kind of
like, I think it was
rigor mortis kind of thing.
I think it was twitching and you were punishing him for his sins.
Yuck.
He was in purgatory, and you made sure he wasn't. Okay.
That was disgusting, though.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't think you did anything wrong.
It was gross, and it was like, I hate that I had to do it, but it was disgusting, and I was like, I don't know what else to do. But there's got to be a better way.
Maybe you need one of them like slingshots that David had.
With the thing.
The possum's like throwing javelins at you, and you're like dodging them. Have you seen that movie?
No.
You haven't seen the scene from the David movie where Goliath is like throwing spears at him and he's like dancing around him and like falling and almost getting hit by the spears, and he has this slingshot It's just like a leather band with the rock in the middle and the two things, right?
Yeah.
And he like dodges the last spear and he's like spinning it above his head and then hits Goliath in the head with it and kills him. Anyways.
I'm sure it's great. I'm excited to see that movie.
Yeah.
There's this meme going around where it's Goliath way more giant than the Bible describes, or at least what my understanding of what a cubit is or whatever.
You think he was 9 foot?
Yeah, I think he's probably about 9-10 foot. But this was like this meme. He was like a giant, and it just like shows Goliath like waist down, and he's got like the armor skirt, but you can like see under that he's got like he's pretty exposed. He's got underwear on or whatever, but he's pretty exposed. And the joke is like David had a lot of self control to not go for the funny kill.
Yep. The scene I'm talking, we're getting way off topic, but the scene I'm talking about was kind of cool though, because it showed how a rock could kill somebody in one blow. It's like
it
cut to him. It looked like he had killed David, but then he like dropped and there was like blood coming from his forehead.
Yeah,
that's how you should have done the possum.
That's how I should have done blow. It for sure.
No, would've, I'm just kidding.
Would have been less messy, certainly.
There wasn't a better way to do that. I mean, yeah. That was it. Was wild though. It wasn't funny.
I was between a rock and the hard place, or at least the possum was multiple times.
That's horrible, bro.
Anyway, yeah. So that's been my and
what else? What else?
Well,
what else?
Then everything like this week, I'm really starting to. So remember last week I was talking about we didn't really talk about it on the podcast, but I talked to you about it about how I was talking about it at the recovery meeting how. Everything I did last week, I was just like, I don't want to do this. Yeah, everything. Like even the fun stuff.
Yeah.
I was just like, I just don't want to do it. So this week, I looked at my week and saw, first of all, came out of the weekend, and everything that I said I didn't want to do actually was a blessing and super fun. Then I looked at my week ahead, which was this previous week to this recording, and it was equally busy and full.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to continue to live in just a state of dread and complaining.
Yeah.
It's just not good. It's not healthy for me. As Jethro would say, this thing you do is not good. And so I really have tried to focus this week on, with intentionality, doing things not just not selfish, but doing things selflessly, like actively doing things for other people, even if I don't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
And I found a lot of joy in that.
Do you think going to the gym has helped you at all with like understanding these things a little better? Like, do you feel a little more clear of thought or anything like that since going to the gym?
Yeah, I think so.
I've noticed a different demeanor in you. And
let's be clear. Well, one, I hear my kids yelling and they're 100% coming down here. But let's be clear. I do not enjoy going to the gym.
That's part of it, though.
It's rough. Because
it's like self-flagellation or whatever. Is that a bad word?
Self-flagellation is farting on yourself.
Oh.
Self-abasement.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, here come the kids. So I wonder who it's going to be. Let's take a guess. It sounds like Harper, actually.
It sounds like Big Feet, though. It might be Jude.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants macaroni.
With the chicken strips?
Macaroni with the chicken strips. I am really proud of you, though, bro, for like, you're like killing it, bro. You're on like a whole diet.
Yeah.
You're making me look like Miss Piggy over here. You know what I'm saying? I'm down here with a $9 box and a large Pepsi, and bro comes down with a zero sugar Baja Blast and a honey mixture in a bowl.
Yeah.
It's like, what's happening here? But I have noticed a different demeanor in you. So do you think that kind of like helps you to like stay focused on? Because while you're saying that, I was thinking in my head like, man, it would be so cool to like take that perspective with us. You know, that forethought perspective that we have where it's like, gosh, I didn't want to do any of these things, but they were really rewarding. And we've talked about this for a long time. So it's like it's not like we don't know about it.
Yeah.
But how do we like jump in front of that? Do you think going to the gym has helped you with that at all?
Helped me with like focusing on how to keep going through things,
yeah.
And like keep moving. Yeah, I absolutely do think that. I think it's been really beneficial for my focus and for my demeanor. I just don't necessarily like it physically and how it makes me feel in the moment.
That's the point, though.
But I enjoy what I'm doing. We just learned something about the podcast, actually.
We did.
Literally just learned it. That before, when I've had to intervene with the kids in the middle of a podcast, I've had to stop it, and then that gives us two different recordings, and it's difficult to edit. You can just push the pause button, turns out, and it just picks up right where you left off. So
learn something new every day, yeah, man. So, I mean, yeah. We're all learning, right?
Yeah. God's mercies are new every day.
No, I mean, yeah, for real.
All right. Yeah, so we were talking about me being more focused because I'm in the gym and stuff, and I think that probably is it. But also, it is literally about, like, I think sometimes we oversimplify the scriptures, but I think we can also overcomplicate them, because when Paul talks about, like, transforming by the renewing of your mind, and he talks about being grateful in all things, it literally is that simple sometimes. And I know that it seems like that's not an easy thing to do, but it literally is like, my mind right now is garbage. It's trash.
Yeah.
And I need to just not do this. How do I do that? Gratitude. And be thankful for what I have. And be thankful that I get to do the things that I do, even the things that are not like... I spent 5 hours in a hospital with somebody the other day. And it wasn't like overly exciting. It wasn't, you know, like this... like the conversations were good, but it wasn't something that was like, oh my gosh, this was life-changing.
Yeah.
But you know what it was? 5 years ago, when I was working and trying to do this, or 4 years ago, or whenever it was, I guess like 2 years ago, it wasn't even that long. But back when I was working and trying to be a pastor, I was so sick of missing things like that because I was working. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Like, I was not, I didn't have 5 hours in the middle of the day to go sit in a hospital.
Yeah.
And so it's like, when I thought of it that way, I was like, you know what? This is cool. I'm glad I get to do this. And bonus to that is I got up early to do it, and I got so much done at the hospital of like just churchy stuff that I needed to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, so really, it's like the idea of like how you can't outgive God on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That can apply to your time too.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I spent 5 hours not in my office or whatever, but in that time I got more than I probably would have got done than I would have if I was in my office.
I thought about that today in my own paradigm when I got denied for a job interview. I want to hear more about your week because you have more stuff going on than
that. No, that's pretty much it.
Is it?
Yeah. But yeah. I want to hear about your stuff too.
All right. So today I had a job interview that I wasn't going to go to. I was just kind of looking around, and this kind of popped up for me. It's still apartment maintenance, which I don't love, but I think I might be in for a little while. No one else seems to want to take me on for anything. I'm realizing I have no qualifications. Okay.
I also think you don't hate it. I think if you were at the right place, I think you could
enjoy possibly it. Yeah, sure. So I go up to this interview on the south side of Indy, and where we live, it's about 45 minutes from the south side of Indy. So I didn't get the job up there. It was really good, really good conversation.
For reference, though, that's not really different from where you're working now, just a different direction.
It's about 15 minutes longer.
Oh, is it?
It's okay. A worse drive, for sure.
Okay, that could be.
I, like, had to drive up and cut through Greenwood to get on 65. It was a whole hoot.
Okay, yeah.
So I didn't get that job because of the mission trip.
Yeah.
Also because I live 45 minutes away and they do on call.
Also because you were distracted during your test, and I want to talk. We have to talk about that. Yeah.
But I didn't get that. So while I'm doing, let's get to it right now. While I'm doing that interview, I get done with the interview, super cool interview, and then they have this test for me. It's like 30 questions. So I'm sitting in the little waiting room doing it or whatever. And the manager that was interviewing me, she's back in her office now. The service manager, who would have been my manager, had left to go do something. And she's sitting in there. I'm taking my test, and she's on the phone with somebody, and she starts talking about this crazy lady that really thought she was going to be raptured. And she's like hitting the nail on the head, in my opinion. She's like, you know, the whole point of him coming back is that no man will know the hour. And she's like, if we knew when he was coming back, everybody would be trying to get right with God all of a sudden, this and that, and that's like not the point. You know, we're supposed to be living as if he's coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which,
praise anyway, God, baby.
Yeah. So she's saying all this, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, amen, amen. This job is like perfect. I would love to work for this company. And now I'm sitting there, I'm on like question 7 at this point. You know, this test is incredibly hard.
And you've probably gotten all 7 of those right to this point because you're not distracted by this conversation.
No, actually I got the first 15 wrong.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So it was divine providence. Then I hear her start talking about cursing was the first thing she started talking about. She was like, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say you shouldn't curse. And we were kind of talking about this last night.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just like a pity statement I've been using. I obviously shouldn't curse, right?
Okay.
Well, as Christians, we shouldn't curse. So I'm hearing her say this, and I'm like, okay, I can see, kind of see where she's going. And then she's like, then she starts talking about homosexuality. And then she's like, you know, when it says a man should not lay with a man, do you know that that's talking about a little man raping or a big man raping a little boy? And I'm like,
here we go.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. At this point, I threw her out the window. You know what I'm saying? At this point, as soon as somebody starts saying that, I'm like, out the window, right? So she keeps talking, and then I hear her say to this lady on the phone, she's like, Jesus loves everybody. The Bible's been used to manipulate people, and it was written by King James for his paradigm, and this and that. And she's like, you know, Jesus, people didn't believe he was the Son of God because he sat with tax collectors and sodomites. I'm like, I heard that, and I was really thinking, I was like, the sodomites? Am I not thinking of the right sodomites? And as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, you mean the sodomites that he firebombed and destroyed?
Yeah.
You mean those sodomites?
Yeah.
And I, like, everything in me, dude, was like, go show her this verse, go some. But that would have been totally out of place. And honestly, I was probably being selfish with wanting to get the job. So that was a whole event. I called Warner immediately after. I tell him about it.
Yeah, and you're telling me the thing about, like, the, you know, thinking she was going to get raptured and that's not in the Bible and this is, like, you know, that's not even the point of it. I was like, yeah, man, I'm right on. Cool.
Yeah.
And then you got right into the sodomite thing and I was like, what? And then, the whole, like, well, you know, the word homosexuality is not even in the Bible.
Yeah.
And we got into this conversation about how then the answer to that is just, okay, you can always take those people to, like, tends to be the people that would also be like, well, I just read the words in red, man, you know, what Jesus said. And Jesus didn't say anything about it. Jesus talks about the design of marriage, and he goes back to Genesis and says, between one man and one woman.
Paul talks about women laying with men, women.
Yeah, yeah,
exchanging.
Yeah.
He says exchanging
their natural,
their natural order.
Yeah.
So if you're exchanging what's natural, then it's perverted.
Yeah.
What is natural? Man with a woman.
Yeah. And so that's like, there's all kinds of other arguments if you want to ignore all of Leviticus. Because then the other thing is they'll be like, oh, so do you not eat shrimp and do you not wear mixed fabric clothes? And I'm like, okay, well, that, okay, you got me.
Yeah.
But also, just go back to Genesis, and that's what I would say. Anyway, so that whole conversation you're telling me about it, I'm just like laughing. I'm like, that may not be the place for you.
No.
And so
see, I'm at a level enough head to, like, because my thing is, like, I want a reverential faith. So I would never. I have a problem with the charismatics. I would never go to the charismatic side. I would never go to a non-denominational side because what I'm looking for is structure.
Yeah.
But just to top this out real quick, because it would be perfect to roll on the subject, but there's a good ending to this, right?
Yes.
So I drive all the way back to work. I'm on the phone with you the whole time, and I didn't tell you, but she called me the manager, the lady I've been working or talking to, called me like 5 times while we were on the phone.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, I'll call her when I get back. So she's like, yeah, they didn't want you because of the mission trip. You know, they're like, we're too busy. We can't really afford you taking a month off. I'm like, cool, whatever. She's like, but we got this place in Franklin, which is way closer.
Super close
to here. 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes
tops, yeah.
Like, closer than where I work now.
Yeah.
And I was super nervous about what it would look like for me to move back to Indy, and I would be uprooted.
Yeah.
So super nervous about that. And I was like, God, if this is what you want, it'll happen. God immediately is like, no, but here's another option. He That's didn't closer. Completely throw it out. Yeah. He's like, here's a better option. So I go to this property, and I don't know if I got the job yet. They'll let me know tomorrow.
Oh, so you actually already interviewed for the second place.
Yeah. So
this, I didn't realize this.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay. So I went down there. Back. I was back at work in Columbus. And she's like, can you head over to Franklin real quick? Just do a quick meet and greet. And it turned into a whole interview and whatever. But it was a smaller property. Still all the same incentives. I got it wrong. Apparently, they give you overtime. They're super cool with overtime at this property, which they weren't at the other.
Yeah.
They wanted to comp it or whatever, turn it into PTO or whatever. Yeah. And they pay me $100 if I'm on call at all.
That's awesome.
And now it's just two guys. It's me and my supervisor, 100-something buildings. You might know the apartment complex. It's right off 31, and they're like townhomes. They have driveways.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's that place. They don't do snow removal because it's owned by the city. The streets are owned by the city.
Yeah.
Like, this is the most cush maintenance job I could have.
And I think if the problem is the place you're at right now, the properties are kind of...
It's in shambles.
They're worn down.
And the company sucks.
And so you're kind of going into it where it's like you're constantly fighting an uphill battle.
Right.
And that's... Nobody wants to do
There's that. There's no reward for my work.
You know what I'm and there's no finish line. It's not like a job well done. It's like there's always going to be
mess. Well, so check this out. So where I'm at right now, after 90 days, you get 30% off your rent, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it goes up by like 5% every year or something like that. So if I wanted to get free rent, it would take me whatever, 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
This place here, they start you out at 20% off at 90 days. And after your first year, it's 50%. After your second year, it's 100% off rent.
That's cool.
And if you're a supervisor, it's 100% immediately off rent.
That's awesome, man.
So I don't know if I got the job yet, and I'm not trying to get my hopes up. Because if I'm sitting here like, you know, God gave me this awesome job, and it's going to fix all my problems, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah. But like, also... This is hope for if this doesn't pan out, then what is the better thing beyond that?
Right.
And by better, I don't mean that it's going to be more money or it's going to be like the perfect situation, but better for what God has for you.
Right. Well, but it is though. But even where I'm at now is better. And this is why I brought it up earlier when you were talking about what you were talking about, where I realized I've been really in doubt of why I left my last company or whatever, but I remembered today when I got denied for that job. My other company was going to fire me if I took a month off to go to Honduras. I've been planning this for a long time, for almost a year. So I've been talking to people about it, and my supervisor was like, bro, they might just fire you. So I left. And I totally forgot about that. I made all these reasons up in my mind that, you know, I wanted to rely more on God and this and that. And I think maybe that's what I'm experiencing is I had like all these like fake self-righteous reasons for doing it when really it was just this.
Yeah.
And even where I'm at now, I fail to see or be grateful for the fact that God has given me a place that's okay with me taking that month off.
Yeah.
such like a little thing, but it was the whole reason my life was uprooted was for this little trip. So, I have an opportunity here with this new place. They're cool with it. The guy Juan is super cool dude. He's cool with it. So it was really awesome.
He's probably from Honduras.
No. He wasn't interested at all.
Yeah,
he wasn't very interested. Have you ever noticed though that Latin American or Latinos don't really like other Latinos?
Yeah, so I have this really great story actually. This podcast episode may not be as in depth as maybe our last one, or I don't know, maybe it depends on what order I put them out in. But it's fun. It's a good one because I'm going to tell you a story now that's very funny. So,
is this another one of your dad's jokes?
No, this is just when I worked at the restoration place.
So there's a Latino and there's four demon rooms.
I worked at the restoration place and I had had these two guys that I really loved working with. One guy was more my interiors guy and one was like more an exteriors guy.
Yeah.
Like if I had a roofing job, I was always hiring this dude, George, which I've used in an example before because at some point we talked about
Julio.
We talked about Jesus and his name and Jorge. The Yeshua and all that. and like this guy George. Anyway, his name's Jorge, but it's easier for English to pronounce it as George, so he just introduces himself as George. Love George, great guy. He was a really good worker from Venezuela, so you know, maybe he's in trouble now.
oh no!
But George was awesome, super awesome dude, and had just like really good, always had really good conversations with him. Always liked working with him. He could be a little bit of a pain in the butt, but I loved him. Then this other guy, Joel, Joel, he did all my interiors to the point that he was doing like anything. Paint, trim. He would do a little bit of plumbing, a little bit of electricity, a little bit of everything. He was doing a little bit of everything. And I didn't know where he was from, but he was a Latino, and he was super hard worker, awesome guy, really nice. I loved having conversations with him, and the phone calls were always fun. And so then one day I can't remember which one was with me. One of them was with me going to Lowe's, and we ran into the other at Lowe's.
Yeah.
And I was so excited for them to meet. I'm like, I love both of these guys. And they're both like cut-ups and funny guys, big personalities.
Yeah.
And they both saw each other, and they both like just stone face were like, hello, how you doing? Shook hands. And then the one that wasn't with me walked away. I think it was George was with me, and I don't know, whatever. One that wasn't with me was walked away.
Yeah.
And then when I talked to them separately about it, they both said the same thing. Joel was from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, Venezuelans don't like Puerto Ricans. And then I talked to George, and he's like, we don't really like Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And he's like, we just don't think they're very good workers. And I'm like, I don't understand. What is happening? Because like when we think of like racism and stereotypes and all of those things, we think in terms of like, which is probably, and somehow this is actually racist of us to think this way, but we think of like white people to black people or whatever. Like it's like a distinctive like race different, but it's like we don't think of their cultures as being that different, but they are.
Yeah.
To a point where they're kind of racist to each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, that's wild. Especially
Puerto Ricans.
Yeah. It's just so weird. I had never experienced that before, but they just don't get along.
Dude, I met a Puerto Rican guy that like spoke like decent English, but you could definitely tell that he was foreign. And he was telling me, yeah, I don't get why Latinos move here, man. And, you know, they don't learn English. They don't learn the culture. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, hearing this from a Latino is crazy. Like, well, I guess they're not, I don't know. What does Latino mean?
Yeah, and that's probably where we are racist in that we probably don't know how to define it.
Yeah, Puerto Ricans are technically Americans, right?
Yeah, technically Americans. But
we see America as like this big place where everybody, I mean, we are just one country.
Melting pot, yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, I guess we take for granted. Another thing we're not grateful for is, you see that distinction in people that live so close to each other. I mean, you could walk across the border and see the other people, but there's like this big distinction between them. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
How did we get on this?
I have no idea.
What was the topic of our podcast going to be? We probably should have moved into that.
let's move into the topic. Well, I think the topic we were going to talk about is kind of, and we talked about it a little bit in the last episode we recorded, but this idea of like, because you were talking about the phone conversation you had.
Yeah.
And this is the danger of, you know, you're really like seeking what is the true church right now. And I think part of the problem is I've given you a hard time about that on the podcast in like maybe a not very respectful way. And I apologize if that's what's happened. But like I joke about it. And then I didn't realize like how serious that is, something that you're really wrestling with. In that, part of the wrestling and part of the confusion and part of the difficulty and why you are so sincere and serious about it is because where do we get what things we're supposed to do and not supposed to do? Like, what defines that for us if there's not a main authority of a church or like a certain church that does it right? then how do we know what's doing it right?
Well, I'll tell you a good resource is there's this lady that does a podcast in Israel. And she's really good, dude. She,
Candace Owens?
She, you know, that would be a plot twist, dude. She's like on an Egyptian plane right now. We're the first ones to crack the case. Yeah, anyways. Yeah. So, like, it was just another example to me this morning, or even that video I just showed you before we started the last podcast, yeah, of this Lionheart Church guy. He does got a lion heart. You know what I'm saying? Where he's like, we actually were talking about this the other day, where he's like, well, people say that the Holy Spirit and demons can't possess at the same time. And he's like, you don't get that. You don't find that in the Bible. And then he goes into what example did he use? The hunchback lady?
Yeah, which I need to look into what he was even talking about there, because he says Jesus said something that I'm like, I don't
know. What did he say? He said,
Jesus said, be gone, spirit of affirmity.
Loose her from the spirit of infirmity.
I'm like, I don't even remember the hunchback lady. What is he talking? I'm like, I don't know. I need to look into that. But the interesting thing about that is he says, well, the Bible doesn't say that you can't be possessed. Well, you know what the Bible, the only thing the Bible ever says about demon stuff, because I always like, I try to make the distinction, well, if you're saved, it's demon oppression or not really possession. And I'm throwing that out the window, because the Bible, the only thing it actually says about demons ever is it calls everyone who has a demon, it just calls them demonized. It doesn't say whether they're oppressed or possessed or what's happening. It just says they're demonized. And I'm like, okay, that's... So, whatever that is.
Yeah, and then you try to break it down and make it make sense and this and that, and then you get...
And it doesn't make
then
sense.
Then you get here.
Dude, we experienced... this is going to be hard for me going to Honduras, because I want to have that same experience in the... The comparison thing is like, I can't want that. Yeah. I need to just let this be what it is.
Yeah, no expectation.
And if it's different, that's fine. And let that be great that it's different.
Yeah.
But we had this amazing experience in Honduras, terrifying experience in Honduras.
Yeah, amazing.
We've talked about it a lot of times, but that, like, where it was like, we experienced a demon being cast out. Like,
literally.
I'm confident of this.
Yeah.
But then I came back. And I was like, I'm ready to do this every day, dude. And then...
Spirit of infirmity!
Yeah, and then had a wild encounter that went, like, drastically different.
Yeah.
Was not good. Made me really uncomfortable. And then I was like, yeah, that's maybe... So maybe trying to be like... Trying to define it is not the right answer.
No.
Because I think it's like everything else we've talked about, it's... We can't understand it totally.
And it's a case-by-case thing.
Yeah, we need to understand that there is spiritual warfare, and it's real,
yeah,
and it's happening, but I don't think we can understand it to the level that some people think they can.
Well, what do you think, though? We've been talking a lot lately about, like, sleep paralysis and experiences we've had with, like, manifestations of the devil in our lives. What do you think about that? What do you think about, like, that story you were telling me where, like, you just felt like you kept seeing something out the corner of your eye and you just had this presence about you? You wouldn't say that you were possessed.
Right.
Or I would say I'm oppressed right now in the state of mind I'm in.
I agree.
But can I attribute that to, like, a demon possessing me or the devil possessing the world and me turning to that?
Ooh,
it doesn't have to always be some, like, supernatural. I mean, that is a mystery in itself. That Satan almost has ownership over the world, and if we turn to that, we become a brother of Satan. But I would argue that everyone that's in the world isn't possessed by Satan.
Or depending on how you read the language, a cousin of Satan.
Yeah. Exactly.
What up, cuh?
Oh no.
I think that's interesting, because I had a couple of days where I had, like, sleep paralysis and I was seeing things out of the corner of my eye, and I just felt like really watched. I don't know and it was weird.
You've been reading the Book of Enoch,
but at one point, I was just like, it wasn't like the super charismatic, like I command you to leave, or like, but I was just kind of like,
get out of here, bro.
I don't care that you're here. I just like, get out of here. And I told you, like, I was experiencing, at the end of it, I was experiencing this like terrible sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And I basically woke up and like felt like something, like I could see something out of the corner of my eye. And I'm just like, I was like, I'm tired. And I'm like, this house is covered in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Just like, don't mess up my action figures in the basement. Like, just be careful. Don't step on the dog, man. Just,
You wake up tonight and there's just some demon with a big, long, gnarly finger like inching you to come closer. You're like, "Camp bro, it was leg day today."
dude, I can't get out of this bed right now.
I can't even worry about it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what your anatomy's like, dude, but my hammies are killing me.
but to the point of like just this conversation in itself, this lion's heart guy would think that we're blaspheming or that we're misled or that we're heretics. Or that we're not
taking demons seriously.
We don't speak in tongues, so we're not saved.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, his church believes this. I look at his comments, and I'm thinking to myself, he started this with what you guys say is not in the Bible, and he didn't say anything from the Bible. So I go to the comments to like affirm what I'm thinking. And his whole, you could see it's his church in the comments, and he's like, you tell him, brother, whatever his name is, and you give him the word. Or some lady was like, I feel very touched by this prophetic passage of proclamation of period, whatever. And it's like, okay, this is obviously a whole congregation or assembly of people that believe the same thing.
And but, then but he says, well, that's not in the Bible, and then proceeds to say things that aren't in the Bible.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
But he wouldn't know these things unless he gleaned from the Bible, right? He wouldn't teach these things unless he gleaned from the Bible. So the way I understand it in my mind right now as we talk about it is Jesus is the provider of creation, of life, of the scriptures.
Yeah.
The scriptures are the fundamentals, the base foundation of which we base our teachings, right?
Yeah.
And then you start getting into the examples or the illustration or the alliteration of contextualizing the scriptures and telling stories from our own lives and telling stories from church fathers or this or that. And it's like this whole breakdown, but as soon as you hop off that scripture wagon, it can get rocky.
We were talking about this yesterday too, about like speculation.
Yeah.
And what's its place in like preaching or sermon prep or Bible studies or whatever, because I try to be very cautious about this. I wouldn't say I always am good about it, but I try to be like, if it's not in the Bible clearly, I don't want to speculate about it.
Right.
But then also there's times where it's like, it may be okay to make this speculation. We were talking about Mary and Martha today.
Yeah.
And that we don't think that she's necessarily sinning in her busyness. And it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't say that in the text.
Right.
But Jesus doesn't, he also doesn't say, stop being busy and sit down.
Right. Until she says
something. Until she says something about Mary. And so I think I think that's a safe assumption to make. But also, how do we determine what's safe and what's not?
I think it's always safe if we come into it understanding that if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong.
And if I'm wrong, this doesn't change my whole theology.
Right. I just misunderstood this text.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so that's where the fault lies, is like, if you have a woman teaching a whole church a doctrine or understanding of the scriptures based on what she knows or what she believes to be true, that's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we have things like apostolic succession or hierarchy in the church. It's a good thing what happened with that church, where that guy came in, had all the power, all the influence, and took and manipulated and demonized the church.
Yeah.
And there was a hierarchy of people who knew better, who knew what was true, who knew what was right, to come in and take authority over him. Yeah. They had authority over him.
Yeah.
Spiritually, physically, positionally had authority over him.
Yeah.
And we're so adverse to that. But right. if there is not that in the church, right, we have an authority who is the head of the church, who is Christ.
Yeah.
But there's a neck of the church. Yeah. And then there's the chest.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
I would say I'm in the chest.
Yeah.
Right? I would say you're in the neck.
Yeah.
Right? But then, you know, there's got to be that beard there or something. Yeah, there's yeah. got to be that one thing that's like close to Christ, like almost priest in the Orthodox or the Catholic Church, how they believe them to be a representation of Christ. But even they have bishops.
But like I respect my elders and my deacons enough that they are that. But I actually had someone ask me about this in Bible study this week. Like, who do you go to if you need to confess or have accountability? I said, yeah, I just go down to the basement. Here comes Iris again. Anyway.
It's all right. We found the pause button.
Once. Yeah. But I think that I told them, well, first of all, I have pastor friends that I would go to. But also, I respect and trust that my deacons and elders, if there was an issue, would tell me and correct me.
Yeah.
And I would hope that I would then respond to that. Hang on.
We're on an Egyptian plane. Something I've been super appreciative of today. Dude, I just keep knocking stuff over off this table.
It's this new setup.
Yeah, my fat legs. Is like when we were on the phone earlier and you told me you were thinking about the things I was saying, that felt so rewarding to me. Because I felt like I had legitimate concerns that I've been scared to tell you about in, like, sake of our friendship or of showing face, or it's easier to be funny and to laugh and stuff like that. And it's hard to tell a friend when, like, I think it's scary what you did in that. And we talked through it. And it helped me to know that you were actually thinking about it. You know what I mean? Not that you need to agree with me or anything, but it feels good to know that my pastor's taking accountability.
Yeah.
Or my pastor's actually thinking about criticism. Now, I give you a lot of criticism. I'm admittedly too cynical about things sometimes, and I get how somebody interacting with me could start to just shut off because you know I say things are blasphemous or I say things are pagan, and I kind of do make it like a joking thing, but I think it's super valuable that you understood the sincerity or the severity, I guess, of what I was saying and where my heart was coming from.
Yeah.
And you thought of those things, and I think it takes a humble person to do that, especially from somebody who's 22 years old living in your basement and is having a midlife crisis and showers every four days. Sorry.
I think you kind of overplay the living in the basement thing. I think you somehow think that is like a status knock or something like that, and I don't think of it.
I low key got it going on down here, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's cool down here. I don't think that's at 22 living in somebody's basement does not make you a loser.
But it's where I came from. You know what I'm saying? Like, I came from having my own place. It was a house.
Yeah.
But you're right. I do. I've been in like this self, anyways, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, But yeah, what it came down to when we were talking on the phone earlier was like that this lady that I overheard this conversation to, she had no accountability above her.
Yeah.
And now she's taking what she has learned through whatever she could find on the internet. I bet she hasn't even touched the scriptures. She probably hasn't ever read that verse, a man should not lay with a man for herself. She never looked in the concordance,
yeah.
Never looked at the Hebrew, never looked at the Greek.
She saw found TikTok.
She found some lady in Israel doing Lord knows what on Patreon and was like, I'm going to teach this other lady that yeah. doesn't know anything
yeah.
that the King James Bible was written by King James.
Yeah.
Anybody that knows anything about history, not even Christian, will tell you that that's completely wrong.
Yeah.
But what you've done now, with no accountability above you, with you thinking you have the authority to teach,
yeah.
have now taught somebody a whole bunch of bullshit.
But I said to you, I said it'd be funnier if, like, she said, like, you're telling a very sincere story of, like, she, this, whoever is on the other end is, like, hanging on with bated breath, just really yeah. every word that she says, taking it as gospel. But I like to think of it as this person is just, like, doing business, and this lady is so really, and she's like, ma'am, I was just trying to finalize this invoice. Like, that to me is just like a better story. Just like, this lady's proselytizing her with this awful theology.
She's like, ma'am, I'm just trying to get a wheelchair ramp in front of my apartment. Yeah, that
to me is like just, I think that'd be crazy. That'd be awesome.
So it's more, that's more funny to you, but because you weren't there, but I think she was on her personal phone.
Oh,
cause
yeah.
I heard her. She was like, hold up, girl. I'm getting a work call. I got
like
a work call.
It literally probably is somebody who looks up to her and is like trusting
her niece, her daughter, something.
I have a friend. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have a friend who has a relative who talks like, you know, I was talking about Tiffany's uncle and stuff. Has a lot of these crazy theory things.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all the other, like a whole nother different realm. So this person, this friend, her relative believes that giants still exist and that they're like hidden in the mountains or something. I don't know. But also they believe in like the dome firmament and yeah. the ice wall, flat earth, all of
four
that
corners
stuff that comes.
Of the earth.
Yeah. All the stuff that comes with that. And this, my friend is an intelligent person, and recently was just like, I don't know. I find this stuff kind of fascinating, what my relative is saying. And I'm like, please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't. Because one of the things that they found fascinating that I heard of is this idea of, and I think I mentioned this to you earlier today, that this, like, Jesus came back in, like,
70 AD,
or yeah. the Dark Ages, or like there's different times that people say, but basically that Jesus has already come back. And I'm like, why are we entertaining these ideas? Like, to an extent, it's kind of like some of this is harmless and funny, and like I have friends who, and we've talked about this, I have friends who subscribe to the flat earth theory.
Yeah.
I think it's silly, and I honestly don't think it's very, I don't think there's any evidence.
Young Earth, old Earth.
Yeah, yeah. But it to me it doesn't make that big of a difference. But like this friend, her relative also thinks that we didn't go to the moon. And I'm like, why does that matter?
I also, like, don't think we went to the moon.
I do.
Seriously.
I think we did, but again, I don't think
it's CGI, bro.
I don't think it matters. I don't think that stuff matters to, or it's like we've talked about, and I don't know if you're joking about this or not, we've talked about like the existence of dinosaurs and whether or not dinosaurs are real. Again,
I seriously don't think they're real.
I don't think that matters. But you don't think that Jesus came back in the Dark Ages or in the Middle Ages or any of that stuff?
Like, no.
You don't think Jesus appeared to the knights?
So, yeah, my thing with that is, like, I can play with stuff like that. I could play with stuff like the dinosaurs because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, stuff like that's, like, believed by the church for thousands of years.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play with that.
Well,
you know
and for me, the Jesus having come back, and not, like, I'm, you know me, I am a kingdom of God is at hand kind of guy. I don't love the, like, escapism of, like, well, I just can't wait to get to heaven.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would say this. If Jesus already came for the second time,
we're effed.
Where are the promises? And then where's our hope?
Yeah, we're effed.
So I'm like, why would someone who claims to be a Christian even want that to be a thing?
It's because Christianity is like a fantasy. It's almost like, it, so this is what I mean. Like, so I'm big into like debate and stuff like that, right? And I listen to some Candace Owens. I listen to some Nick Fuentes. Now, do not throw me in water, church. All right, okay. I'm definitely not like a griper or anything, but I'm interested in that type of stuff. But when I listen to Nick Fuentes, I'm like, okay, bro. Like, you probably need to take your faith a little more seriously. Like my judgment is still guided by the faith, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I hear some lady like today,
yeah,
conspiratorizing the scriptures,
yes,
I'm going to take a lot more offense to that. And by offense, I mean right now I need to make sure I know what I believe. I need to make sure this person knows what I believe to be the truth, right, with proof,
right,
of the truth. Yep. And this can't go any further. But if, yeah, somebody believes that, if somebody believes the Jews are running the world, I don't really care. If somebody believes that government buildings were built for giants,
yeah,
fine. Like, I don't care. Just don't let your focus and your faith be on the Book of Enoch,
yeah,
or the Gnostic Gospels or this and that. Like, it's cool if you're Wes Huff and you know the whole entire Bible from, yeah, back to front.
Yeah.
And then you look into these Gnostic Gospels, yeah, and you have this like basis of truth to judge these things off of. But if, yeah, you don't have this basis of truth first, if you look at everything like it can be a conspiracy, if you look at everything like it's a Disney movie,
yeah,
gotta subtract the faith from that. You gotta separate that conspiratorial mind, which I have, from the faith.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has proven himself. If you're a Christian, Jesus has already proven himself true to you.
Yeah.
He's and in that comes the church, the scriptures. These things are proven true to you.
Yeah.
No more need for speculation or wonder. That's what you do when you're an atheist. You conspiratorialize religion. You're like, well, maybe Jesus went to India and read the Book of Gita or whatever it's, yeah, called, and became a Buddhist monk. It's like, cool, that's okay, you're an atheist. But, yeah, now that you're a Christian, you're in this like confines of Christianity.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. And you don't divert outside of that.
Anyway. Yeah, I agree, man. That's it's so interesting. It's so interesting when people I see the point that you're making of the church, the need for some kind of structure of and definition of what the church is, because if we just like, well, the church is just people that believe in Jesus wherever they are, then you get these like coffee shop Christianity where they hear something on the internet and they're like, well, there's no one to tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
This is the problem. This person, this friend, their relative, is completely isolated. Not a person that gets out and does anything with any other people. And so that's exactly it. There's no accountability. There's no one to say. I have another friend, somebody who goes to our church, who had a relative that basically created their own cult. And at first was going to church and like left several churches because they're like, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And then was finally like, no church is teaching what I think is right, so I'm just going to, with my family and my friends, I'm going to tell them what's right. And would do things like, middle of the night rapture drills and and like,
what does that even tell entail? Them that
celebrating birthdays is going to send them to hell and like
fair point
stuff like that. And it's like, this person has created for themselves a fortress that is impenetrable by the truth.
Dang, that's a bar.
And that's so dangerous. This is why accountability is so good. And this is why, and I understand you want to have reverence for pastors and especially whoever you will deem your pastor. But this is why it's so important for me to tell people it's okay to question my interpretation of things. Now, yeah. What it's not okay to do is not talk to me about it and just be like, he's wrong, so I'm going to think up my own doctrine and theology.
And then start whispering to other people in the church.
Come to me, let's discuss it. And if I'm wrong, I'll be like, oh, yeah, no, maybe I need to look into that more.
Yeah.
And like I said to you today, like, I've been really thinking about that.
Yeah.
That's important because the accountability matters. If I just was like, I'm right no matter what anyone else says, or worse, I'm like, well, if people keep telling me I'm wrong, I'm just going to stop interacting with people. That is so dangerous.
This is an interesting thing about the church that I think maybe I've had wrong, is that I see accountability as always coming from, always up coming down.
Yeah.
Right? But in your case, it sounds like a lot of time, and I'm talking in position, in a sense, it's down going up. Like people that are technically, ooh, this I guess is just a hard thing to say, but technically under you in authority in the yeah. church, holding you accountable.
Yeah.
But as we understand accountability, which, for some reason, am I onto something here
which
or no?
Which, when Jesus says things like, the first shall be last, and he says that he came to serve, not to be not, served.
That one rings me up.
And when he says things like that, the kingdom, like when he talks about the kingdom of God being so drastically different than the kingdoms of man, don't you think that's, wouldn't you say that that's the proper interpretation of that? Is that a pastor should be willing to listen to the people that he serves?
A pastor should be willing to put himself lower yeah. or as low as those people.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I think that that doesn't mean that they shouldn't respect my position. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't trust that what I'm teaching is with the intent of teaching them truth. But if they have questions, they should feel confident that they can come question it and ask about it. Because the last thing that anyone should do is go to a church where they tell you, don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Just do what we say.
What is his name? Sean McDowell talks a lot about the youth right now.
Yeah.
And the youth in the church. And he said, from what he found from interviewing people and statistics and whatnot, he was like, the number one thing that leads people away from the church is young people away from the church is not being able to ask questions.
Yeah.
People want to know why crystals are deemed weird or bad in the church. Right, seriously, yeah. People want to know why tarot readings and stuff like that, like why we don't believe in that. And then they want to know what's the alternative. But if your understanding coming into the church is your pastor's like, tarot cards are pagan, crystals are gay, and follow Jesus.
Yoga is going to get you to possess.
yoga is a demonic ritual. And you're like, okay.
I had someone I love and respect tell me today that that I need to be careful with Dungeons and Dragons because it could open gateways. And I'm like,
I don't know about the open gateways thing. Like, I do think it's a little weird, though.
I'm like, Lord of Mercy, is this 1992 right now? Like, for real. Anyway, yeah. But anyway, that I think we're really onto something here. I think that we've even talked about this before. When I was talking about the training I did with the American Baptist, where they were talking about like what millennials want in a church, and then it got all confused, and that person was like, "Oh, I'm so glad you said crystals are okay." And the lady's like, "No, it's not what I said. Go back. There was an episode we talked about it."
Well, and this is what I mean by revering. Like, what produces reverence in a pastor is that, like, that I can come to you and feel satisfied by your answer. Yeah. Not that you're just telling me, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Now go pray, or now go do. Now just follow Jesus. Yeah. Not even now go pray. I would love if a pastor told me go pray about it, but instead it's like, no, just give your life to Jesus. And then people are like, what does that mean? Now I have no reverence for you because your authority is empty.
I sometimes feel like I might be a one-note counselor, but I also think that this, when something works, don't try to change it. I recently... tradition. One of the things I was I use a lot, and I've used this with you, and it was effective, and I've used this with other people, many, many, many other people.
Acupuncture?
I recently just told somebody like something they were struggling with. I said, first thing you do is when you struggle with it, text me about it.
I did that for a little while.
Yeah.
It worked.
I said, first thing you do is do that, and it's going to sound stupid, you're going to be like, I don't want to do that, and I'm like, yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
Second is when you are tempted by this thing, or you're like getting to the point where you're like, I'm probably going to give into this thing. think about Jesus being ever present. And not in a weird way, like he's trying to catch you in a gotcha.
Yeah.
But like, if he was standing in front of you, which he is, in a sense, you know, in a sense. But like, if he was standing in front of you physically and said, you can either do the thing you're going to do or follow me. But you can't do the thing you're going to do and follow me. What does that do? Not that he says, because it's not like a one and done or whatever, but if that's what he's saying, if that's what he would say, like, think about that conversation and then how would you feel? And this is the thing I've said for months now. This is another really long episode. This is the thing I've said for months now. And I really do this fervently. And I'm not saying that because I do it, it's right. But I'm telling you, it's working for me. Is
Blue Chew.
our sponsor, Blue Chew. When I'm struggling with something, like wrestling with something, like, is this right? You remember about a year ago, maybe it's been more than a year ago, because I think it was when my dad was still around. But I was like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't eat shrimp because that's, yeah. How, you know. And when I really have those kind of things I'm wrestling with, or like tattoos, when I have these things I'm really wrestling with, a couple of episodes ago, or I don't know how long now, I mentioned that, like, I even sometimes wrestle with, like, when you're done reproducing, is it still good to have sex in your marriage? Like, that's like a actual question that's floated in my head.
Yeah.
And because, like, if we go back to the original design, he says, be fruitful and multiply. All of these things, every single one of them, when I take it to the Lord, I'm not like, I want my thing to be right. I'm like, God, if I'm wrong, convict me and fix it and point me in the right direction. Sometimes I don't get the answer. But I think in a way that might be the answer. You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever struggled with, like, doing stuff you know is wrong in the moment?
Yeah.
So, like, when you talk about, like, imagining Jesus at your feet and he's like, either you can watch porn right now or you can follow me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm in a place where I'm like, where that doesn't, like,
you
that
know doesn't why, grip you know my why? Heart. Because we understand and we know that he still will forgive us.
Right.
And that's sometimes
a sickness.
It is. Because just because we know he'll forgive us, we should still think about that. We should still wrestle with that. Like, Isaac said this the other day. He said, all of us are wrestling with our salvation. And I think that's a good thing. Like,
work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes, because I want people to feel confident in what Christ has done for them, that they are saved. But also, every once in a while, it's good for us to have this thing of like, but what if I'm going to hell?
Yeah, don't be so confident that you're like a once saved, always
saved. Right, right. Person. Like, let myself work on this, because even if I'm fine the way I am and, like, God's sanctifying me, but even, like, I don't want to wait for eternity for the best parts of sanctification. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think of it like this. He talks about how, like, it's going to be like a consuming fire and whatever that, we could talk about the literalism of all of that. But, like, if that is the case and everything, when we enter into eternity, everything that hasn't been sanctified on earth has to be burned away. I want to have less to burn away there.
Yeah.
Than just coast through this life and then have to go through a ton of fire to burn off what didn't get sanctified.
Yeah.
Not Bible. There's nowhere. That's not technically scriptural.
Speaking of that, though, like, we talk about, like, jargon or cliches that aren't in the scriptures. I remember I think it was Tanner I was talking to about what the purpose of life was. And his perspective was the purpose of life is to prepare yourself for eternity.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, that's so simple, but so true. Honestly, when I think of heaven, in my fleshly mind, I think of a place where I don't have to work, where everything's given to me, where I can do what I want, where I can feel love and love people and this and that, all these good feelings. But really, I think what Scripture points to eternity as is constant worship.
Yeah.
I don't...
Wait, do you want to hear something crazy that's probably going to make... When you think of, I don't, you know, I'm long for eternity where I'm not going to work, something that's not going to feel very good to you to hear is before sin entered the world in the original perfect creation, man worked. So but, I would argue that in new creation, there's probably...
Right, but there was a stipulation added onto work that makes work, as I'm speaking,
miserable. Yeah. No, he says that the toil will be difficult now.
Yeah.
And so...
As a man, surely you understand, it feels good.
Yeah.
Especially now that you're going to the gym.
Yeah.
It feels good to come home and feel like you've accomplished something today, and I'm worn out.
Yeah.
That feels good.
Yeah.
And I think that it'll be perfect. That work will be perfected in heaven.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Or the new earth or whatever. Whatever.
I know.
I just hope I get raptured before that.
Dude, I try really hard not to harp on people about that. Because I know what they mean. I know what they mean.
You know when that big projector screen is playing.
But
you know,
I
just want less slides.
But I'm a weird guy. I am a weird stickler about like Final Destination is New Earth. Please understand. Like that that is something like I don't know why I'm such a stickler about that, but it's really important to me.
you're a end times nerd, dude. You really are.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
You're going to be worshiping with Striper.
bro, are they going to be allowed to play To Hell with the Devil in heaven? I don't know.
Dude, that would be a banger. You go to the bar in heaven, and there's just like wine and 72 virgins.
It's just water.
You don't think there will be wine in heaven?
Jesus turned water into wine. That's the joke. The bar is just water. It's funny. Come on.
And then he turns it into wine?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it wasn't funny.
Water's free, dog.
Can I get a water cup?
Yeah. like the clear cups you get instead of the free
drink?
Yeah.
And then you Jew Jesus into turning it into wine?
You're like, hey, this is you get Sprite, but you try to like shake out all the bubbles before.
Dude, imagine.
Did you ever do that as a kid?
No.
You get the free cup, and you're like, I'm just getting water.
Oh, and put Sprite in. But
then
you get
some Sprite in there, and you like stir it around to try to get the bubbles out. You're like, oh.
That's a mortal sin, dude. Bro, imagine.
It's a diabetic sin, for sure.
Never mind. This is off podcast. Talk. But yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Well, that's good because we're at an hour and 10 minutes. So.
Yeah, bro. I think just to close it out. To any young Christians listening, from my perspective, find somebody that is living a life of faith, a life of servitude to the Lord. Preferably, in my paradigm, a man with children and a wife who are ministering to them and to people around them, and follow those people and ask those people for advice. Don't just follow those people. But look for those people, man, and try to get under those people's wing and be a part of the church. Hold yourself accountable.
And question them.
Yeah, hold them accountable.
Yeah.
Find people to hold you accountable and for you to hold accountable.
That's good, man. Yeah, well, there we go.
That's the truth.
That's the truth. And God's truth won't back down. Neither should you. Stay focused, stay aggressive, and stay relentless for God's glory.